Bible.
Our religion is worthless. And you think, well, that doesn't sound right, but well, let's look. James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, does not have the Son and deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. You haven't done what you needed to do, and so you're
almost like
almost like it's snowballing here. It was a little thing. We didn't bribe our tongue, and now we're not keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. We'll be judged for every idle word, talking again about our speech. But I say to you that every idle word
in the speech, they will be accounted for that judgment.
So I think about the idle word, we might have spoken. Before we can be perfect by bridling or controlling our whole body, we must first control our tongue, again, James 3, verse 2. That's where it starts. The scriptures lead us there. It's not, I think this or that. That's where the scriptures start. And then as we control a horse with his mouth and a ship with a rudder, we can control our body when we control our tongue, James 3, verses 3 through 5. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth and they may obey us. Their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. It's almost counterintuitive that a big horse or a big ship would be controlled by such a small thing, but it's true. So even verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. All right, we do not stumble in word, we are perfect, able to bridle the whole body. If we do not control our tongue, our entire body is defiled. So that's where we start. We have to, and as James 3, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. We can control our whole body when we control our tongue, James 3, verses 7 through 12. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. That's a general statement, of course, because we're commanded to tame our tongue, right? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. And if we don't control that, and we do both of those things, then we are not in control, and God demands that we be in control. Verses 10 through 12, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh water. You can't be a child of God and have blessings and cursings come out of your mouth different points in time. You have to control the tongue and thus control the speech and thus control the rest of your body. We control our tongue and whole body with godly wisdom. James 3. But the wisdom is from above, is first pure and then peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceful, yielding, merciful, fruitful, good fruitful, and without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's what we want to dive into. That's what we want to be a part of and put on that those traits. Through God's Word is how we do that. In Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We sing that song. A song that uses that scripture. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Maybe you that's simple from a worldly viewpoint, but you can be wise from a godly viewpoint because your goal isn't a worldly goal. Your goal is a heavenly goal. Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. Be watchful. Walk circumspectly. Don't have tunnel vision. Have a broader vision, as it were. Not as fools. Fools don't walk circumspectly. They walk into a trap from time to time. But as wise. But as wise. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make the most of the time you have. We don't know how much time we have left. We've got to make the most of it. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's that understanding word again we talked a little bit about on Sunday. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like the apostles that measure of the Holy Spirit fell on them, and then they were instantly all truth. I'm not sure as they needed it or they just had it all in their minds at one time. I certainly don't know, but they had the Holy Spirit, and they were guided into all truth. Now, unfortunately, we have to study. We have to study and talk amongst ourselves, and maybe from time to time there are certain things you go back to the Greek to make sure you understand the words. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Yeah.
That just goes to show we have to depend on God to help us through His Word,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Tame ourselves.
That's right.
That's how we tame it.
Without God, we'll fall into that blessings and cursings out of the same mouth without the Word guiding us and the Holy Spirit guiding us through the Word. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We read that, but we need to read that. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're not lacking anything. It's like, oh, I wish I just had one more piece of knowledge. One more piece of revelation. No, we've got it all. We've got everything that we need. We might have questions, but we don't need anything else. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceedingly great, precious, exceedingly great. Not just exceedingly, not just great, but exceedingly great. I believe it was Doug, talked about that. In a sermon the last year or two or three. Exceedingly great precious promises. Wonderful, exceedingly great precious promises. All the superlatives you want to put with that. And through these exceedingly great precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. We can be partakers of the divine nature. Us lowly humans. In this old world, we can. We're swimming upstream, but we can do that. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's that word again, that lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And the knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness. We're building a foundation here, it seems like. Almost like we're laying bricks on top of one another. As we add to our faith those traits, those virtues that make us godly. Make us Christ-like. Make us a candidate for heaven. And so, verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We want that knowledge. Well, we can have it, but it's not implanted in our minds like those on the day of Pentecost. It's by study and discussion and understanding the will through the word that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so, verse 9, for he who lacks things, these things is short-sighted. If you don't partake of the word that's been provided for us, freely given, the most published, they quit putting the Bible on the book list. It won every year, the most published book in the world, and has been since they've been keeping records. So they don't even put it on there because everybody else got their feelings hurt, I guess, or something. And so, for he who lacks these things, short-sighted, even to blindness, and have forgotten he was cleansed of his old sins. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent, not just diligent, but more diligent to make your calling and call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you stay in the Word, if you understand the Word, if you practice it, and you get your tongue under control, and then the next one, you add all those virtues to your spirit, then you will never stumble. Not that you can't ever stumble, but if you're working on it every day, you don't have time to do anything else. So, verse 11, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom, and that's what we want. That's where we want to go. But it's not just going to fall in our lap. We have to work at it. But how do we bridle the control the tongue? Licentiousness, sensuality, unbridled lust, absence of restraint proceeds from the heart. And we're kind of back there again talking about this. Mark 7, from within, out of the heart of us men, mankind, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And we've got to get it out of us. And that's our job. To control your body, our heart must be right. Acts 8, verse 21. Peter rebuking Simon the sorcerer for wanting to buy the ability to lay on hands like the apostles had, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God, Peter told him. And luckily, Simon repented. He made a mistake. And he was rebuked for it, and he repented. And so, but his heart was not right. The thinking part of him was not right, not thinking right. And he needed to get it right. We must have a pure heart. Matthew 5, Jesus and his Beatitudes included this. Blessed are the pure in heart. A pure heart. And Simon's heart was not right, and we need to have a pure heart, as Jesus says. 2 Timothy 2, flee also usefulness. We talked about this a fair amount in the last couple of lessons, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, we need to have a pure heart, not a heart that can lead us to blessings and cursings out of our mouth. No, a pure heart that is Christ-centered, that's in the Word, and that is following it rather than following the world. Our actions reflect our hearts. Our actions reflect our hearts. Proverbs 23, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, can you fool people about what's in your heart? Sometimes. But sooner or later, it's going to come through. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And it's going to bubble out from time to time. Eat and drink, he says to you. We're all buddies here. But his heart is not with you. Because he's hiding something. Our heart must be in heaven. Matthew 6. for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart, or your treasure rather, is things on this earth, then that's where your heart's going to be. And if our treasure is in heaven, then that's going to be the numero uno, the thing that we work on the most, that we strive to be pleasing to God. Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Continue to seek them, not just once. Continue to where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you're a baptized believer, you died to those things. Why do we want to go back to them? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so, when He comes, if we're faithful and we've been true and we've worked hard at it, then we'll appear with Him in glory. Our mind must be set on God's interests as opposed to our own interest. Or our another way to say it is our interest must be God's interest. Matthew 16, Jesus rebukes Peter. When Jesus told him he was going to have to die, called the apostles, and Peter said, no, we can't let that happen. And he, verse 23 of Matthew 16, Jesus says, but he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." Jesus said that to Peter. Peter didn't understand that Jesus had to die for mankind to have an opportunity to go to heaven. And continuing in verse 23, "For you are not mindful," Jesus said to Peter, "of the things of God, but the things of men." And so Peter had this earthly view. He didn't have a heavenly view, and he did get the heavenly view, but he didn't have it at this particular point in time. And Jesus had to rebuke him for that. How do we control our tongue? We've got to love God with all of our heart. Matthew 22, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Does that leave anything, any part left out? All your heart and your soul and your mind? And so as we think about things we love on this earth, I mean, if you have a spouse, you love your spouse. If you have children, you love your children. Maybe if you have grandchildren, you love your grandchildren. Then if you have children, you love your children. Maybe the grandchildren moved up to right under your spouse. But we love those folks, and we love other things, but not like we love God if we're part of God's family. And so as we live our life, some of those people, either the family or close friends or members of the Lord's body, will disappoint you and make you sad. But if we have our heart in the right place and we love God with all of our heart, we won't let that drag us down, although it might be a bitter pill to swallow. Our heart must not be hardened, a hard heart. Ephesians 4, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You now have converted to Christianity, you Gentiles.